It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 119. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. I'm joined by guest Jason Franchuk of the Daily Herald. We talk about the offensive line, we talk about Taysom Hill's job security, and a little bit about the Virginia game. Matt comes in to also preview the Virginia game. We also hit a couple of topics, including the announcement of scheduling a couple games with Cal and some transfers. We also play America's favorite game, Answering Machine. Again, this is the Rise and Shout Podcast. You can catch us and other great stuff at loyalcougars.com. You should subscribe to us and download us on iTunes, and you're going to listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the podcast is our friend Jason Franchuk of the Daily Herald. Jason, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on. I feel honored here to kick off the season. I know you've done other podcasts, but I guess right before the team going to Virginia, some alumni and boosters have already gone out there as of today, including some sports information officials from the school, and the team will head out soon after. So this is a big time of year, and I'm excited to be part of this.
Yeah, it's a great start to the season, and we'll get to the game here in a minute, Jason. But I wanted to start off talking about a topic that has been covered by your brother and in the press here over the last few weeks with fall camp. You've talked about it as well, and stuff that you've written, which is the offensive line. The news has come out that there'll be 11 offensive linemen traveling to Virginia, and according to the coaching staff, all 11 will play. So for those of us who've, you know, been watching BYU for a long time and are used to five starting offensive linemen, and guys come out when they're injured or if they're majorly gassed, but not very often, is what we're going to see on Saturday and throughout the season just vastly different from that? Should we get used to a shuffling offensive line that matches maybe this new style that the offensive coaching staff is trying to implement?
I'm very curious, like everybody else, to see how this works, how they shuffle, who they shuffle. We know teams tend not to like to shuffle centers, but BYU's done it before. Left tackle, Riker Matthews, he says, hey, I don't want to come out. Nobody really wants to come out, but he understands if he's gassed, he's gassed, and somebody's 70% is better than his 30%. But a lot of it's going to come down to how does BYU handle the discipline factor of this. We saw in fall camp there were some false starts going on. There were poor snaps. We saw some illegal alignments that stop the clock. And then, of course, are they shuffling as a disciplinary measure, essentially benching somebody for making a mistake, or are they going to just continue to shuffle based upon guys being gassed? So much remains to be seen about this offensive line. I'm very, very interested. You know, I've been doing this is my 11th season, and I've been curious about players. I've been curious about coaching changes. But this whole offensive line deal, Garrett Touje, what he has brought to the table as far as complimenting Robert and I and the system they're trying to run, we've never seen anything like it in Provo. So for me to say I know exactly how it's going to go down, I really don't. I wish I could. But I think they're eager to have guys that are healthy, guys that they feel like are well-conditioned. And while they'll never really say it, I think this is a way to try and balance what was obviously a weakness for this program last year. And frankly, they're not a whole lot bigger. There are issues both in experience level and size level for this particular unit. And I think they feel like this going fast and trying to run plays quickly and not allow defensive lines to get at the quarterback, I think that's what they're trying to maximize. So they're trying to maximize talent with maybe the hindrances that I've described that are certainly prevalent. I think they feel like this is the best way to get around everything. But, I remember that first scrimmage, Adam, timing it, that they had, and it was about 16 seconds from the start of one play to the start of the next play, and that's an awfully fast rate to be going at.
Yeah, I'd be gassed, but hopefully they're in better shape than I am. So a question we had off Twitter that relates to this, Jason, is from @ryben3. on Twitter. He asked, do you think Braden Kearsley will get most of the reps at guard, even though he's not listed as a quote-unquote starter? So is this is he one of the players, do you think, that will get more than his fair share, or do you think the ones that are listed as starters are likely to be the ones that get, you know, not obviously all the reps, they're going to rotate, or at least that's what they've committed to, but are the starters going to be the ones we see the most often?
Yeah, I was curious why he wasn't listed as a starter. I know Bronco was very frustrated with him getting ejected from one of the scrimmages there for taking a helmet off a guy and everything, and that is something Bronco calls a discipline thing. It's a learning moment, a teachable moment, as he calls it. And also, hey, you just can't have guys getting frustrated. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing with this offensive line is, as much as they want to shuffle, I think they're more interested in running quality plays. That line between quantity and quality is pretty vast, and I'm curious to see how they handle that. But I could see Kearsley playing a ton there. I think Riker Matthews is going to be a guy that's tough to take out. I think there are two players there that offer a lot of potential for Taysom Hill being comfortable with them and the rest of the offense being comfortable. But, you know, this team, could they get stuck in a lot of first and 15s, second and 15s because of mistakes? Yes. So I'm interested to see what they do the first half, if they try and just go rotation after rotation after rotation. And I think second half you'll see them try and settle down into a little bit more of a, I should say, a little less rotation, a little more familiarity as those guys we know to expect to be in the starting lineup. I think we'll see them stay on the field a little bit longer as they grow more and more comfortable in those surroundings.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned Taysom Hill. One of the pieces that your colleague Jared Lloyd wrote earlier this week, or maybe it's the end of last week. I can't remember. I've been reading a lot.
It all blends together,
yeah,
right?
I've been reading a lot lately, getting you know, trying to get the fix before the season starts here. He mentioned, you know, that that kind of perennial piece that you may write about the backup quarterback, that Ammon Olsen, if Hill struggles, could become the most popular guy on campus. We remember, you know, in the past, of course, that's been the case at BYU and pretty much everywhere. When the starting quarterback struggles, the most popular guy on campus is his backup. What do you see as the dynamic there? Do you think Taysom Hill has a massive leash that he would have to struggle for quarter after quarter before the coaching staff made a change? Or do you think, as it seemed, that both these guys played pretty close to each other in fall camp, do you think that Hill's leash is a little bit shorter than maybe the coaching staff or us as fans would believe at the moment?
I don't think Taysom could get pulled at all in the first game, barring getting nicked up, barring some kind of injury or something like that. And this is not a knock on Ammon, but you know, you go on the road, you said who your first stringer is, you've given him the first string reps, and I can't see Robert and I or Bronco Mendenhall trying to turn the wheel that hard. They've been through the quarterback controversies. I think they will do everything in their power to avoid that with Taysom at this point. And this isn't to say Taysom will play the whole year. In fact, you know, Jared and I do a one-on-one segment in our preview edition for the Daily Herald. You know, he didn't believe that Taysom would last the whole season. He based that more upon injury. I think Taysom's got a pretty good shot. I think he's got a pretty good feel of this team and this offense and what Robert and I want. But at the very first game, Taysom will not be yanked at all. If you want to call it a leash, he'll have an incredibly long one because it's just not worth it to BYU. They've been down that road before. They trust Taysom. They need to. And to yank the wheel that fast would make a lot of guys start to hesitate, and when you're talking about going fast and going hard, hesitation can't be part of the equation. So to do that to Taysom in that offense, it just won't happen.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So let's hop to this Virginia game. Their team coming in with questions. They weren't particularly good last year, 4-8, including a six-game losing streak right in the middle of the season, through the heart of their conference schedule as well. What do we expect coming into this game as far as the keys for BYU. They weren't a great defense last year, but they weren't terrible. But they were pretty below average offense. Are we expecting to see a similar team to last year, or has the turnover and some of the other things that happened in the offseason, do we see the path to beating Virginia to be a little different than maybe it was last season?
I like how you put that delicately. They've got questions. I mean,
Yeah.
that's a 4-8 team coming in with a new offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, a quarterback who's never played a snap. Man, I wish people were that kind to me, quite frankly. Sometimes I like that. But the thing I am interested in is, and this is the interesting thing to me about this, my friend, is BYU when they were in a league. You kind of follow teams, you know what I mean? I
Right.
mean, you followed a decent freshman and you saw him grow up, whether it's football or BYU basketball, playing these teams in the Mountain West, and you kind of got the rhythm of how things were going to go. And if they got a new coaching change, you had an idea of the talent. I got to admit, I mean, I've watched some Virginia, I've tried to watch some stuff online, but I don't have any real feel for the kind of team they are. Mike London seems like a nice enough guy as their coach, and I know he's got some NFL experience. The guy I am really interested to see, I know Steve Fairchild, they've got interesting guys. They've got Steve Fairchild, he's the offensive coordinator now. BYU knows him from his Colorado State days. John Tanuta, I think I'm hacking that. I'm really, really sorry. But he was actually the coordinator, the defensive coordinator at Georgia Tech in 2003, I believe it was. So Gary Croton's first year there, or one of his first years there while he was in town. And then the guy I'm really interested to see is Tom O'Brien. He only coaches tight ends, but he was the head coach at Boston College when Boston College had its really good years and they came to Provo, beat Robert and I and Bronco Mendenhall their first year as a tandem, beat them in Provo, and then, of course, beat them in overtime, I believe it was a couple years later there in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. So I guess you've got to gauge it on the coaches coming in and what kind of philosophies they'll have. Steve Fairchild loves pro sets, two running backs. That's going to be a question for BYU. I think you look at what they do with those two running backs is they'll try and key on Kyle Van Noy and keeping Kyle out of the equation as much as they can. But otherwise, who knows what to expect. Bronco mentioned their quarterback being a mobile guy and get around. But other than that, BYU hasn't spent a whole lot of time watching film. It's almost like last year when Mike Leach was at Washington State and BYU was kind of preparing for personnel and preparing for the ideas of a head coach, and BYU was very comfortable with how that ended up, obviously. So I think they're going to try and do a similar thing while knowing that they're not playing the most talented team. The question is going to be, to me, is can BYU's offense not get in its own way and do a lot of three and outs, have some turnovers, things like that. I think BYU's in pretty good shape. But, yeah, Virginia's got a lot of questions, and it's just going to be a feeling out process early in that game. But I think BYU's confident knowing that they're not playing a Utah State-type team that really has a lot of confidence and vigor going its way. I think Virginia's going to be emotionally charged up, of course, for an opener. But I think those guys will have to question themselves if they're ready to be successful.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk that offense. You mentioned not getting in its own way. I think some of the fears of fans that as we look at, here's this brand new offense, the first game of the season, it's going to look a lot different than anything BYU has run ever, just because of the speed of it. Is this something that you think there's a non-zero chance that is a complete disaster this first game, or do you think it won't be a disaster, but it just may not be pretty, and it may not put up a lot of points, but it's not going to be anything worse than maybe some of the poor offense we've seen the last couple of seasons?
Well, I think it's going to take time. I think it's going to take a week or two for guys to get comfortable, especially in a game setting. And I thought one thing Bronco said was interesting was how they had referees at these scrimmages, and they were having trouble getting referees that could get the pace that BYU wanted as far as setting the ball, allowing BYU to go. So I think there's going to be questions. I really would be shocked if Taysom doesn't have an interception and BYU's offensive line doesn't have a false start or something like that. There's just so much going on. I mean, talking to Ross Appo a couple weeks ago, he was saying how he's in better shape for this, but how it is so much going on so quickly, and to do it now in a full stadium, I think you've got to expect mistakes. I go back to Robert and I's first stint that I mentioned there with facing Boston College, and I think they put up 3 points, right? They lost 20-3.
Yeah.
But Robert and I's offenses, over time, obviously established themselves. I think there's going to be some growing pains with this, but I expect some good plays, too. I think they can run the ball effectively. I'm curious to see Jamal Williams, how they use him in the flat. Can they get him the ball in open space where he can make some plays? One thing I'd expect to see is BYU. We know they didn't get chunk yardage plays last year. I expect them to have a few plays of 25 yards or more where they really catch Virginia off guard. I expect BYU to play well, but I think at the end of the day, everybody, fans, coaches are going to say, hey, there's a lot to improve on. And I think part of that's going to be because of false start mistakes and things of that nature.
Yeah. Last question, and on the offense, staying with Hill, I think, you know, there's a lot of concern of injuries with him. I don't know how warranted it was. I mean, he's played in 2.5 games and had kind of a strange injury situation with a play that maybe should have never happened. What do we think we'll see as far as him running the football? I know a lot of fans fear him running the ball up the middle, you know, Riley did a lot the last couple of years and took some big hits. Do we think we'll see that kind of, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 carries out of Hill a game, or do we think it'll be more more controlled and more scrambling runs than ones that are specifically called for him?
I think he'll be able to run. I would expect him to run a handful of times and probably trying to get out of bounds as much as he can. But I think that first year was the obvious nature of the beast of this being a very young quarterback, not totally trusting the offense. Let's face it. I mean, the offense they ran last year wasn't very good. It was scattered. The offensive line wasn't very strong. There were reasons why he had happy feet and was looking to run. Now, the play, of course, he got mentioned that he was injured on was just incredibly fluke. But I've been impressed with Taysom at how good he's looked with that leg. Talking to trainers, I did a story in the Herald for our special section again, and they said, look, there was no real big structural damage. They had to reattach his hamstring, but really a fairly ordinary procedure, despite how odd the injury was and when it took place. And Taysom's mental strength got him through that. His ability to rehab stronger, apparently that injured leg is now stronger than the other leg based on the tests they do on lifting and everything like that. So I think he'll be in good shape. I still expect him to run some, but he'll be, as you mentioned, a little more organized. I don't think he'll have a 10 or 12 carry type game where he's scrambling, but I think that was a guy who really, BYU's receivers were out of whack a lot of times. I don't think anybody could have trusted where they were a lot of times. I think now he's got Sky Ridley, who is not the most necessarily athletic guy or tallest guy, but he runs a solid route. I think Taysom can trust that. You know about Cody Hoffman. I expect Ross Apo. I don't know how big of a year he has, but he certainly has to be better than he's been in the past and be more productive. Only one touchdown pass last year, of course, from Taysom. But I think they'll look to get the ball to Jamal in the flat a little bit as kind of a safety valve. I expect those other running backs to play a part, and I think Taysom will be the kind of guy who can stick in the pocket a little bit longer and try and make things happen that way rather than just bailing out on his teammates with his feet.
Awesome. Well, Jason, thank you for coming on the podcast. We'll, of course, check out your coverage of the Cougars at, I guess, I've got it bookmarked. Is it, do you type in CougarBlue.com or you type in HeraldExtra.com? Does it matter?
You can either. Herald Extra gets us to the main site. If you're not interested in the real news in the real world and you just want the sports, yeah, just go to CougarBlue.com and you can find Jared's coverage, Jared Lloyd, and my coverage will be there. And we have all sorts of good photography up there, so that's the place to go for the brunt of the coverage.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
If you want to read about Miley Cyrus and politics and stuff that really doesn't matter in the world, unless it's not August through March. I mean, I guess from April to July, we all get a little bit bored. But other than that, it's football season. So.
Amen to that, Jason. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll have you on again soon.
I'm ready.
Dude, I already started recording. You're ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I know. So let's just start it.
All right.
We're doing it. Let's just go. Let's rock. Let's roll.
I'm ready.
Okay, Matt, this is the Rise and Shout podcast. This is our 119th episode, but it's also our first episode. Do you want to know how?
Not really sure where you're going with this, but whenever you do this, I get a little bit nervous.
As you should. It's our first episode post the launch of LoyalCougars.com.
Oh, yes.
That's the slow
This is
clap there. Loyal
so
Cougars.
this is podcast one in the year of our loyalcougars.com.
Wow. And you were worried about me. No. Can I say that? What I will say though is if you haven't checked it out yet, we are now part of loyalcougars.com, a new and super awesome BYU sports blog. Awesome writers, besides some of the guys we were with before at Vanquish the Foe. You may have heard of Blood Runs Blue, the BYU comic.
Are you
Matt?
asking me? Oh
Yes, I'm
yeah,
asking
it's
you.
hilarious.
The listeners can't respond.
Well, sometimes you ask them if they can see things, so I never know who you're talking to.
Good point, good point. But you can find that on there. You can also find a story about Robert and I and a startling discovery that he may or may not be related to a Muppet. So you can check that out. I point that one out by Ryan Teeples because I think there is, I think honestly, we're going to have a good mix of analysis and fun, which this should be fun, right?
Yeah, and I'm really excited about the website. I think it's going to be exactly what you said, a real good mix of analysis and fun. I think it'll be a place people are going to want to check regularly to find out what's going on and also to interact with other BYU fans.
Excellent. Excellent. I agree with you. I agree with you. So let's get to it, Matt. Let's get to
Let's.
it with our kickoff little segment that we have started doing almost every podcast, which is Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the news. Do I have to yell it too, or should I just
Yes.
let you yell?
No, I think we both have to yell it.
All right, I think you're right.
I
Okay.
think that's how it works. So Cougars in the News, we looked at some headlines. We're gonna just do a couple of today. A couple of today? I don't even know what that means. It's Italian for couple. A couple
Yeah.
of.
The wheels are coming off, Adam.
We're like, how many minutes are we in? We're like 2 minutes in, and we're already gone to ridiculous land. So, Matt, the first news we're going to talk about is Cal. We've got some new games scheduled with Cal. First one is 2014, which is actually the bookend to the 2014 schedule, Saturday, November 29th, to end that 2014 schedule. So 2014 is now, it seems to be locked down except for a bowl agreement. So Matt, what do you make of that Cal agreement? Is this a good thing, neutral, whatever, blah, blah?
I think it's a good thing. It's definitely better than neutral. I mean, it's a good opponent. It's a fun game. I think it's one that people will enjoy. It is a good, as you put it, book into the 2014 season, which frankly is not the 2013 schedule. This makes that 2014 schedule a little bit more interesting. Yeah, it's definitely better than neutral, and I would say not bad at all.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I mean, they're going to do it's a home and home series that's 2014, and I don't remember is the second game was scheduled or not.
Thought it was, but I want to say 2017, but I can't remember.
I think you might be right. So the point is that we've got 2017 is the other game that'll of course be in Provo. Cal is not a program, at least as of today, that's an elite program. They may step back into, that top half of the Pac-12. But it's a great game to, I mean, it beats the November schedule next year isn't what this year's schedule is with Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, and UNLV. But adding Cal, it's an upgrade. The season next year though is not going to be like this year's season. Though there's still some intrigue with Texas and Boise State and a couple other schools on the 2014 schedule. Matt, the other news is that there is a player returning, well, not returning, coming to BYU after having been at Notre Dame. And that's defensive, the safety Badger. Now, when I saw these headlines, it just was confusing. I thought someone was coming from Wisconsin to Notre Dame to BYU. But anyway,
I thought it was Honey Badger making a second
he
run.
thought it was Honey Badger. It could have been.
I was like, I don't think he's going to be a good fit in Provo.
Yeah, I don't think. I think you're right. I think that would be a bad fit. But anyway, Chris Badger, the safety, is transferring to BYU. Should be, according to the stories, on campus like now. I
Yeah.
don't know how quickly he will play. It doesn't sound like right away. Take on this is this. I mean, he was a pretty significant recruit coming out of school. Not, a five star, but certainly somebody that would have been, one of the top recruits of his class in 2010 of BYU's class had he come in with that group. And now we get him a couple years later as he comes back from his mission.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy out of Timpview High School, originally committed to Stanford, and then after a visit from Charlie Weiss to his house in Provo, decided he wanted to join up with the Irish. So, I mean, he was buried on their depth chart, from what I understand. Wasn't going to see any playing time, at least not this year. Did see a little bit of time his freshman year before his mission. So, I mean, I think as a prospect, it's definitely intriguing. It's very interesting. Hopefully, he'll be able to contribute. Now, I don't know how quickly. I guess he's still got to go through a waiver process to see whether or not they're going to allow him to play this year. I think he'll be good enough to at least contribute on to this team.
Yeah, I agree. I think whenever he ends up suiting up, we definitely have depth issues in the defensive backfield. And this is a guy that if he can approach the hype he had coming out of Tempview, he could certainly be a player that becomes a big contributor, right?
Yeah, I
Big
mean, if he
contributor.
lives up to that billing, absolutely. But I think the question, at least the discussion I saw on Twitter today, was, how good is this guy if he was buried so far on the Notre Dame depth chart? But there's a lot of different pieces that go into that when depth charts are put together, especially for a guy who took 2 years off from the program and the coaches changed during those 2 years. The coaches that recruited him to go there aren't there anymore. He came back, tried to stick it out for a year. And then he's obviously got this family illness that he's dealing with. So I'm not going to read very far into his position on the Notre Dame depth chart when trying to assess how much of a contribution I think he would make.
Yeah. And this just goes to show you said he was recruited by Charlie Weiss, right? I mean, a lot of times, I mean, I think I saw a survey in ESPN the magazine earlier in their college football preview, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but something like 40 or 50% of players that were polled by ESPN the magazine, they anonymously polled 92 football players from across different conferences. I think it was about half of them were not playing for the coach that recruited them.
Right.
So, I mean, the other part about this that, people talk about loyalty to schools, but a lot of times these kids make the decision based on the coach. And
Oh, absolutely.
if the coach moves, if Charlie Weiss was the guy that convinced him, yes, I want to be a part of the Fighting Irish, and Charlie Weiss is gone, that opens doors for somebody to look at something else.
Well, and then when a new coaching staff is out recruiting players and making promises to those players and selling them on a defensive system, they're then going, they're going to lean towards playing those players that they've recruited that are comfortable in their system that they feel like have allegiance to them as a coach.
Yep, no, absolutely.
I don't know if that's what's happened in this case. I'm just speaking generally.
Yeah, and I don't have any idea either. I think we may find out more later on, but quite frankly, we may never find out. Nobody may tell us.
This could all be really just completely based on the fact that his mother is ill and he wants to come back home so he can be close to his family and that she can see him play.
It's certainly a reason I would take. If certainly a reason that would mean something to a lot of kids, if as far as deciding to switch schools. So, Matt, let's transition to our preview of an actual BYU football game. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're really going to play one?
They're really going to play one in Charlottesville, Virginia. So, Matt, what do we know about the Cavaliers? I would say we don't really know a whole lot, right?
I would agree with that assessment.
Jason Franchuk mentioned that on the interview I just did with him, is that there's, without being in a conference, it's not like we probably saw much of these guys or followed them last year. And the other part is they've had a massive amount of changes, coordinator changes, QB situation, lots of different things going on there. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on the Cavaliers because, quite frankly, I don't feel like I have a great handle on them. I would recommend you go to loyalcougars.com, find the opponent notebook that was written by Charles Cano. He interviews a writer from thesaber.com, which is a blog that covers Virginia, and they talk about a few different things there. But I was going to focus our discussion on the Cougars and what we expect to see, Matt, out of them coming out of the gun straight off the bat. So let's make some predictions. Last week we predicted big, picture long season stuff. Now we're going to predict over-unders on, let's start with defense, okay?
All right.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, defensive prediction, over-under, 13.5 points scored by the Virginia Cavaliers against the Cougar defense.
I'm taking the under here.
You're taking the under. And you think that is mainly because of our defense, mainly because of their offense, or just kind of a combination?
I think it is mainly because of the defense. I could expand here, but I don't want to venture into any more over-unders you're going to do. But I'm expecting a couple of turnovers in this game.
Yes.
I would even go so far as make the bold prediction that we will recover a fumble and make an interception defensively.
Ooh, nice.
That's my bold prediction for the defense.
Okay. So another prediction. Last year, Virginia averaged a little bit under 400 yards in total offense, which was good for 62nd in FBS. Over under 310 yards total offense for Virginia. And by the way, I'm taking under on the points, just like you did.
I'm going to go under here.
Also go under. Not probably by a ton.
No, I think that one's pretty close. That's a pretty good bar.
Okay. Over under on turnovers caused by the defense at 2.5, which is kind of high.
I'm taking the under.
I am taking the over.
Really?
Yes.
If you had said 1.9, I'm taking the over, obviously. I think I already said that.
Yes, you already did. Here's what I think. You've got inexperienced quarterback, new offensive system against a defense that, while there is quite a bit of turnover on the defense, there's also a lot of veterans. And if anything, I think Broncos proved over the past couple of seasons that he's figured out how to really position this defense to be good. And I don't think Virginia is the type of team that can exploit the weaknesses this defense will have this year, like a vertical passing game, which I think may be a problem for the Cougars later on in the season. But I don't think it's going to really be a factor in week one.
Yeah, and I think that the defense shows up well prepared for opening games.
Okay. Well, let's hop over to Twitter. There were some questions there that will get us into. Anything else you want to say on the defense before we move on to the offense?
No, I feel good about the defense. I'm excited to see them do some work.
Okay. So let's go over to Twitter to get some thoughts from our fans, some questions. The first one on the offense, as we preview the offensive side of the ball, at BYU to NFL on Twitter says, do you think that Williams will get 100 yards rushing, I'm assuming? Why or why not? So Matt, setting the over-under on Jamal Williams rushing yards at 100, are you taking the over or the under?
I'm taking the over, and my why or why not is go fast, go hard. I think there's going to be yards to go around here. And he is freakishly talented. I know we use that phrase a lot here on the podcast, but he is.
He is very talented.
I expect him to do very well.
I'll take the under. I don't think, you know, quite frankly, we, you know, 100-yard rushing games don't happen every week. You know what I mean?
Right, that's true.
They don't happen every week. Last year, he had, I think, I'm looking it up now, 3 100-yard rushing games. Now, if he has a 60-yard run, a 70-yard run, then yes, he'll probably get over 100, right? But most likely, I see him getting, you know, 15-ish rushes, give or take. Last year, there was only one game where he had over 20, which was against Georgia Tech. So I think he'll get his, you know, typical number of rushes, which is around 15. And I think that'll be more like 90-something yards unless he rips off a big one. But I agree with you. I think there will be plenty of space because of that go hard, go fast offense. So we'll see. Go ahead.
I feel like his carries will go up unless he loses some of those to Taysom Hill. But I feel like he's going to have more. I feel like he's had more than 15 carries, and definitely more than 15 touches. But I guess we're really just talking rushing yards.
We are just talking rushing yards. But if I set the over-under on 15 carries, you're taking the over.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And if I set the over-under on 20 touches, you're taking the over.
Yeah, on 20 touches, I'm taking the over.
See, I might take it on touches. I think on carries, 15, I might take the push. You know, if you set it 14 and a half, I'd say over 15 and a half, I might take the under. So,
okay.
That's where we're at there. A similar question from Andre Hutchins. That's at @AC_Hutchins. Which is more likely to happen, Matt, on Saturday? Hoffman catches a couple touchdowns, Jamal rushes for a couple touchdowns, or UVA scores a couple touchdowns? I'll start off by saying I think the first two are either of them getting two touchdowns is probably less likely than UVA scoring two touchdowns. What do you think?
I don't know. I'd say it's a push between Hoffman catching two or UVA scoring two. I think UVA may get two touchdowns in this game. It's probably a push for me between those two.
Yeah.
But I think that those two are both more likely than two touchdowns for Jamal.
I actually completely agree with you. And I think the one that's the most likely is Hoffman catching a couple of touchdowns. I don't think they have a cornerback that is supposed to be pretty good, but they played pretty soft zone defense last year, off the ball a lot. So whether he could actually one-on-one guard someone like a Cody Hoffman, I don't know. I'm going to assume the answer is no, because most of last season the answer was no, no matter who was guarding him. So I think for me, I think that's the most likely outcome, him scoring a couple touchdowns. Now, that being said, he did have, if you don't count New Mexico State, where he had 5 touchdowns, he did only have one game last year. Well, 2 games last year, we'll count New Mexico State, but it was Idaho and New Mexico State where he had multiple receiving touchdowns. So maybe that's not as likely as we think it is. So, Matt, going to another question here on Twitter, on the offense, switching to Taysom Hill. More rushing or passing touchdowns, and how many of each? So, Matt, let's start with that. Passing touchdowns, how many do you think you see out of Taysom?
2.
Rushing?
Maybe 1.
Yeah, I would take the under if you put it at 0.5. I think by the goal line, we've got some better options to punch it in.
And I think it's a bad idea. I mean, if he runs one in down at the goal line, it's a play broke down and he ran.
Right. Or it could be a long run, right? Like some type of scramble play where it gets out into the open. But I think that he is I don't think he's likely to get a touchdown on the ground. I mean, he might. He did last year, but I think total touchdowns, I'll give him two and both through the air.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Now let's focus on him for a second, Matt. I mean, brand new offense, first game of the season. Jason Franchuk just came on and said he thinks he would definitely take the over on 0.5 interceptions. He thinks there will be a couple of pretty big mistakes by the offense just as because of the nature of the offense and it being so new. So your take on that, I mean, do you think, are you expecting a kind of herky jerky first offensive game? Yeah, we'll probably beat Virginia, but gosh, it's not going to necessarily look very pretty.
That's exactly what I expect. I expect it to be, for the level of excitement surrounding the beginning of this season, I expect Twitter to crash. I think that the offense is not where it's where it needs to be or where it's going to be later in the season. It's going to have to be game tested, and this is their first opportunity to really go live in full speed against another defense. With what they're trying to do, you have a quarterback who, and I know this is kind of a contested point because he did start a couple games last year, but I think this is a different situation. It's almost like having a new starting quarterback. You have an offensive line situation that you're not really sure about, and also requires guys to have very high stamina. So I would expect that this debut of the offense is going to be rocky. And given the number of snaps and plays that they're going to try to get into this game, statistically, you would expect other things like turnovers and some of these to increase with that. So I would take the over. If you said, interceptions thrown by a BYU quarterback, if you set that at 0.5, I'm taking the over. If you set it at 1.5, I may take the over. There's going to be a lot going on, and they're going to be moving very quickly. So it's a high risk, high reward type of situation that we're going into here. And I think you just hope that the reward pays out a little bit more than what you lose.
Well, I think the nice thing is we're not playing an elite defensive unit. At least we don't believe they are an elite defensive unit. New coordinator and stuff. But just going off the last several seasons, they have not been an above average defense. So that's one of the benefits, right, of this first game is that, even though it is on the road, and I'm sure there will be some of those just being on the road type of factors in there. This is not, if we're opening against say Boise State, who does have a well above average defense, I would feel a lot more nervous about this game and might set the over under on 3.5 turnovers and take the over. But I think, Taysom does have some experience, and I also think the coaching staff will be wise as they pace the game and slow it down if they need to a little bit. I don't think they'll, I mean, if things are going a little rough, I think they will. I don't mean slow down to a different type of offense. I just mean instead of 16 seconds between plays, maybe they go to 20. You know what I mean? To try to get things a little bit more organized.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have to make some adjustments on the fly to what they're trying to do because it's I don't expect it to be completely crisp on this first go out.
No, I agree. I agree. So Matt, that is our tweet bag questions on this game. We'll get to a couple of other tweet bag questions after we do this. So now it's prediction time. So I'll toss it to you first because I'm magnanimous. What is your final score prediction for this game and any other bold prediction you might have following that?
My final score prediction is a Cougar victory, 24-10.
24-10. So you do not think they scored two touchdowns?
No, I don't think UVA scores two touchdowns.
Excellent, excellent. And do you
Did I?
see?
That's consistent with what I said before, right?
Yes. It's consistent with what you said before. But you because we were setting the probabilities of two touchdowns for UVA, Jamal, or Cody. But it is you did not say you thought that was probable. Just you thought it was as probable as Hoffman getting a couple of touchdowns. So 24 to 10. Any bold predictions?
Defensive touchdown.
Defensive touchdown. I like it. I like
Yeah,
it.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with defensive touchdown.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I'm talking about our defense, not theirs, obviously.
So here's my prediction, Matt, and it's going to shock you a little bit.
I am prepared to be shocked.
35-10.
I knew you were going to get up into 35 based on the conversation we had last week.
So here's the thing. They're not very good. So unless this coaching staff has come in and worked a miracle, which is certainly possible, I think that they're going to struggle to move the ball against our defense, and I think, as we just discussed, I think there will be a bunch of mistakes by the offense, and I don't think it will matter because I think Hill will have a couple of big runs when things break down. I think Jamal will have a good game, and I also see a really good game out of some of the other offensive skill position players, and maybe you've got a combined 200 yards rushing, even without Jamal getting 100. That there's just between him and Hill and the other running backs, they get it. Last year we averaged about 400 yards in total offense. I think we get a bunch of several turnovers in this game, but we end up with way north of 400. I think this may be our first game in a while against a BCS level opponent where we don't get sub 400 yards of total offense. I think there will be fits and starts, but I think this offense is actually going to be more impressive and may unfortunately or fortunately raise the expectations for this season after if they put up 500 yards on Saturday against the Cavaliers.
So you're pretty bullish on the offense right now.
I am absolutely bullish on the offense. Absolutely bullish. If you look at, say, 2009, the total offense wasn't super great. We had 400 plus, 440 the year before that. If you just look at what Anai did before, I think you're looking at, he's an offense that is going to be a lot better. But the other point of comparison is this: Arizona last year. Do you know how much they averaged in total offense?
I have a feeling you're about to tell me.
526 yards, seventh best in the country. This was an 8-5 team, not a great team. They didn't have a very good defense. Part of that is the pace, right? It's going to hurt some of your defensive statistics as well because the other team's going to try to match you at least to some level. But they just didn't have a very good defense on top of that, one of the worst in FBS. I just think the nature of this offense will automatically mean there's just a lot of more yards and points on the board. If the defense can be a shadow of itself from last year, I think beating a team like Virginia is not really that big of a task, even on the road. So there's my
Okay.
bold prediction.
There it is. Very bold, my friend. 35 points. That's a lot of scoring.
That's a lot of scoring. We have not scored we've not scored 35 points against a non-terrible opponent much over the past couple of years. I mean, last year, Georgia Tech, we did score 41. That was the only one where we broke that 30-point barrier against a team that wasn't, Weber State or Hawaii,
Or Idaho
or
State.
Idaho, yeah, New Mexico State, all that kind of stuff. So Matt, that's our preview. We've got football coming on
I'll tell you
Saturday.
what, I can't wait. I mean, yeah.
I'm following
Games
it up.
start tomorrow night. It's gonna be
Yeah,
great.
and I'm
College
following it up
football is gonna be
with
great.
I'm following it up with a fantasy football draft after the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm in heaven. I'm in
You're
heaven.
doing your weekend up right, my friend.
Yes, I am. So Matt, we
Well
got it.
done. Well done, sir.
Well, yes. Well done, me. Let's answer another tweet bag question from Jed Higginson at Jed Higgy, and he says, other than the BYU game, what other games are you most interested in? And I assume he means college football for week one. Matt, do you have any games that you will be trying to check out besides the BYU game?
Pretty much all of them.
You mean starting with College Game Day at 8 a.m. Central Time until you pass out at 2 a.m.
Pretty much. I realized after I moved here, after I moved to Houston, that I'm multitasking here.
Oh.
I realized after moving here to Texas that I was in a different time zone than I've ever really watched sports in.
Yes,
And
it's a great experience.
I'm gonna have to get up early to get ready.
Yes.
Games are gonna be kicking off at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, well, actually, it's usually around 11, but you're not great with math.
No, there will be games as early as, oh, I guess you're right, 10
Yeah,
o'clock.
it's typically 11. I've lived in this time zone for a long time, so don't argue with me.
Yeah,
You'll
whatever.
lose.
So, but it's like a real full day. You get all those games in.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. And the other thing is because you're an hour again removed from the East Coast, which we both lived in that time zone a good part of our lives, you the games get over an hour earlier on Saturday night. Which is fantastic. So Matt, the two games I'm most excited about are not in any particular order, LSU and TCU.
Excellent game.
As a couple of weeks ago, I picked TCU, I think, as a BCS sleeper. And I stand by that. And this could, if they beat LSU to start off the season, then they automatically, they're no longer a sleeper, right? Everyone
Right.
will be talking about them after that. And then the other game I'm particularly interested in is Georgia and Clemson, which will be on ABC. Both of those are night games, and I think they're kind of the marquee games. There is also Alabama and Virginia Tech, but quite frankly, Roll Tide. I'm not sure that game's that close.
No, I think really the Georgia Clemson game is probably the marquee game of the weekend.
Yes.
You've got two top 10 teams. Georgia was, seconds away from winning the SEC championship last year. Clemson is a really talented team. So, I think that's the best game this weekend. I am also looking forward to UNC South Carolina just because I think South Carolina is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, another games that I'm interested in, Nevada at UCLA. I'm not sure if Nevada's any good this year. That game will give us kind of an early indicator on the road against a ranked opponent. So, that's one that that is interesting to me. Boise State at Washington, just because of the connections. We play Boise State this year, and obviously Sark at Washington is another game I'm kind of interested in. And then, of course, the big story may be that Texas A&M game, where of course they're playing, who do they play?
They play
Rice.
Rice. Yeah.
Whether Johnny Football actually plays or not, right?
Well, he may play in the second half.
Yeah. So we'll see. That'll be a big storyline. But as far as gameplay goes, I agree with you. The game of the week is Georgia and Clemson, but I'm probably more interested in LSU and TCU, to be honest, just because I'm kind of all in on TCU this year. All in.
If I had to choose, if I could only watch one of those two games, if I wasn't allowed to flip channels back and forth, I'd probably stick with the Georgia Clemson game. But I'll tell you one that is probably not interesting to a lot of people, but I'm interested to see is I want to know if Northwestern is for real.
They're not.
I guess we'll find out. I mean, I don't know if we find out this weekend against Cal, but we'll find out eventually.
It depends on what you mean for real.
Could they beat Ohio State?
No. I don't think so. I don't think they can beat Ohio State. I don't think they can beat Wisconsin. Will they be a top half of the Big Ten team? Yes. But the Big Ten's
Yeah,
not great this year.
that's true.
But I think there could be a top 30 team, but I don't think they're a viable contender for the Big Ten. I don't. Based on having watched them a bit last year and looking at how strong Ohio State is and how strong I think Wisconsin will be. No, I don't think so. But what do you think? Do you think they're for real? I mean, just on
I don't
your.
know. I'd be interested to see. It's been a long time since they were really competitive and really, really competitive as in the, among the top ranked programs.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun if they are, if they can compete with Wisconsin and Ohio State, I think they could make for a really fun season in the Big
Well,
Ten.
I was foolish. I should have looked at the schedule. At first, I thought, oh boy, I made a bad mistake because they're in the different division now
Right.
than Ohio State and Wisconsin, but they play both of them. So, including
It
at
might not be the
Camp
best year to be at your best because you're going to have to play the best teams in the conference.
Yes. But with the new thing there in that Michigan division, and our Purdue Boilermakers get stuck in that Ohio State Wisconsin division, which I think will be tougher this year. May not be tougher every year, but.
I really enjoy that you're refusing to call the divisions by their names, legends and leaders.
I think Legends and Leaders is terrible, but luckily they'll fix that next year, right?
That's going to get fixed.
They're
But
gonna
I
get
will
that.
say, speaking of Purdue, that is where I start my college football watching. Saturday morning will be the Purdue Cincinnati game.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing is that Legends and Leaders is the Big Ten's version of Spirit, Honor, and Tradition, isn't it?
It pretty much is.
Pretty much. So, Matt, let's kind of finish off the podcast here with a game. We haven't played this game in a while. And it's a game we call Answering Machine. We
Yes.
should really call it voicemail because Answering Machine makes it sound like we still live in the 1990s.
There's probably people who listen to this podcast who don't know what an answering machine is.
That's true. But we're still going to call it Answering Machine. We're old school. So, Matt, how the game works, and we never explain it correctly, so that's part of the charm, is one of us is going to make a fake phone call to the other of us. I'm terrible explaining this. And we're going to, the one receiving the phone call is going to pretend to be someone involved that's somehow connected to BYU Sports. We will do a message, and then the other person will have to put a message on that person's. Wow.
They're going to leave them a voicemail.
Yeah, I may have butchered this explanation worse than I ever have, and I even thought about it ahead of time.
Listen, it's going to make a lot more sense if we
Once we
just
do it.
go ahead
All
and,
right.
yeah.
Do you want to call or receive?
Why don't I will dial first.
Okay, dial.
All right.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Ross Oppo, receiver for the BYU Cougars. I cannot come to the phone right now because I'm busily trying to learn this new offense, get integrated, and then go down to Virginia and win a football game. But leave me a message and I'll get back to you next week after I get back from the game. Thanks. Beep.
Ross. Ross, this is Matt again. Listen, I've said it once, I've said it a couple of times getting ready for the season. I think this is the year that you deliver on the talent and the hype that surrounded you when you first came to Provo and the talent that I know you have. So get after it, go out there, catch some passes, do some great stuff. Get one of those, if I'm predicting a 24-10 victory, which, and if I say Cody's going to catch two, that leaves room for you, my friend, to pick one up yourself. And I think you're going to do that this weekend. So good luck, and we'll give me a call sometime. All right, bye.
He's never gonna call you.
No, I always make them awkward at the end.
Yeah, that one was pretty awkward,
No,
to
but
be honest.
I think he's got a chance at catching one this weekend. I really do. And I've said this before. I think that he is the I don't I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but I think he is the guy right behind Hoffman
He's the
this season.
Batman. He's the Robin
He's
to
the Robin to Hoffman's Batman.
he's the Affleck
To
never mind.
Christian Bale.
To
I don't know
Chris,
what you I'm not
I
really
don't
sure
know.
where you're going with
To,
this.
well, th there used to be rumors a lot about Matt Damon being Robin, so but anyway, I agree with you. I hope it's a good game for him. So you're ready to receive? I will call.
I am.
All
Go
right, here
ahead.
we go.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Skylar Ridley, newly elected offensive captain of the BYU Cougars. Can't come to the phone right now because I'm too busy being awesome. Leave me a voicemail and I will call you back after we return from Virginia. Beep.
Skylar, buddy, hey, I was calling to apologize for all the mean things I've said about you over the past year plus. You're a captain now, which is great, and you're a walk-on, which I actually think is quite spectacular. I am hopeful that I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, bud. I really do think that you do run a route better than a trained monkey. I think I believe I said that on a podcast once. So I really apologize. Good luck on Saturday. I am assuming you will delete this or maybe post it on some type of social media to mock me. But again, I really am sorry, and I think you're gonna have a great year. Bye bye.
Do you really think he's gonna have a great year, or are you just being nice?
I'm just being nice. I don't think he'll have a great year.
Do you really think he runs routes better than a trained monkey, or are you just being nice?
No, I take back. That was a cruel and unnecessary comment last year. And sometimes we utter those on this podcast in jest, and they're not very nice. I think he will have a decent year. I don't think he's got the skills to personally to be an elite type of guy, or even a well above average kind of guy. I think at the end of the year, the receiver with the second most catches and yards on this team is Ross Oppo. I don't think it's Skyler Ridley, despite the captain status, which is great. But being a captain is not the same as being the most talented player on the team, right? I mean, those are not the same things.
Absolutely.
Do you read anything into Vannoy not being a captain? I mean, I saw it on Twitter and Cougar Board where people are like, oh, do people not like Vannoy?
No. On this team, I don't. In other programs, I might have, but on this team, football comes fifth. And if we just call it what it, no, but really, if you just look at what the culture is in and around the program, it does not surprise me that the players chose who they did. To be their leaders. And the other thing is, when you have a player like Kyle Van Noy who can just completely take over a game, you don't need to, he doesn't need to officially be named in any type of leader capacity. If the players are smart, they're gonna listen to what he has to say, and they're gonna follow his example on the field. And I don't know that Van Noy was, wrapped up in whether or not he was a captain either, based on some of the stuff that
Yeah.
he said during fall camp. So yeah, I mean, I would if it were a place other than BYU, but it's BYU, and so based on the types of things that they push in the program, it doesn't surprise me at all, and I don't necessarily see it as a bad sign.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Matt, this has been another awesome podcast. I have to say we've outdone ourselves again.
And pretty sweet.
So I would definitely make sure if you've got any feedback on the podcast, you can tweet at us at BYU underscore Rice Shout. You can email either of us, Adam at Loyal Cougars, Matt at Loyal Cougars. Both of those should be followed with a .com. And of course, you should go to loyalcougars.com and see all the great coverage we have this week of the opening game and some of the great and fun stuff we have over there. So, Matt, any parting thoughts?
No, I'm losing my mind. Can we just watch some football already?
Yes. Go out on BYU TV or BYU Sports or whatever. Go watch an old game or something
That's what
to
I'm gonna
fall
have to do.
asleep to. To fall asleep to. That's good, Matt. Well, once again, thanks for downloading. We're always on iTunes. We're always at loyalcougars.com, and we will catch you next time
Yo.
after a Cougars victory, I hope.
Yo, Cougars.
Awkward.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I changed the pattern. I'm sorry.
You know I'm gonna say go Cougars at the end.
Oh, I know it.